Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Previously on Dungeons & Dragons.
Hi guys, my name is Dense. How you doing?
Not too bad, Dense. Why don't you pull up a stool?
I think I've heard this term before. It's called a troop.
Well, I mean, I don't know if we have the same skills. You have to perform and entertain. I mean, really what we're doing, we're heading to Tamanther.
I like Tamanther. I really do.
Dense pulls the sword out, and it actually kind of looks more majestic with blood coming off of it.
Aw, man, thank you so much for saving me with your beautiful sword.
I've got to protect my friends.
Well, we don't just want a troll attack, if that's what happens, and them to be asleep.
A lot of times trolls like to be the first one, and they'll let people know that they're first by saying first. So maybe that troll is talking to other trolls in the tree line.
You walk all the way over to the other side, and as you pass over and step onto the rocky, mountainous terrain, you hear from underneath the bridge,
first!
Damn it! I think it's one of those damn trolls who always needs to say that they see something first.
Ooh, hey guys. You guys look so great over there. I'm gonna come over now.
Dense, you walk across, bouncing suspension bridge, step up onto the stone.
Fifth. Okay, bye.
You crest over a large hill and see the tip of a large pyramid off in the distance alongside the massive Methwood Forest. Welcome to Dungeons & Dragons. I'm your Dungeon Master, Russ Moore, and with me today is Tom Laird.
Hey, that's me, first out of the gate. I play Moot, and he is a half-orc wild magic sorcerer.
And Amy Moore!
I'll be out of the gate, but only if you have that, like, plushy rabbit that will be thrown quickly in front of me. And I play Sullivan Slight.
And Carla Maxton.
That's me. I play Glim, a dragonborn paladin.
And joining us again this week from Discovery Debrief, Incomparable Podcast Network, voiceover artist and elite dangerous commander Stubby Stan. It's Cicero Holmes. Welcome back. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me. I am also out of the gate, but that gate is spelled G-A-I-T. So I'm walking very weirdly right now.
I like it.
And, are we talking like bow-legged? Yeah,
Well, actually, we're talking about my character, Dense, who is a bird creature that I can't pronounce, but Russ can.
Eric Okra.
There you go. Who is very tall, but walks really short. He scrunches down, not unlike someone else on this podcast.
Yes.
And his gait, as a result of how he walks, is out of the gate.
I love it.
I'm feeling real attacked on my posture here.
Also, from now on, all I can think, because it sounded like you said
Eric Okra.
Okay. Now it sounds like there's some guy out there named Eric
Okra.
Okra.
Yes, Eric
yeah.
Okra.
Eric Okra.
Yes, Eric Okra.
He's got a bit of a
slimy texture, but if you cook him down enough.
Yeah, if you cook him down enough, exactly. Put him in a stew.
Oh, you fry
maybe
that?
Fry him.
Oh, yeah, you do.
I picture Eric Okra as like Eric Estrada's bastard son, who's going to star in the sequel to Chip someday.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Is he just a
salsa?
Yeah. Just a giant okra.
Picking that one up. Oh, this is good. Hey, after these episodes, we do our Dungeons Downtime where we debrief and then patrons get to hear it. So we would love for you to hear that by joining us at patreon.com/dumbdragoncast. And when you are a patron, you get an episode dedicated to you, like today's patron, Tim Weaver.
Thanks, Tim.
Thanks, Tim.
Thank you, Tim. So much.
And now, fuck it, let's play.
Shit, yeah.
We're going to pick up right where we left off. The four of you plus Rolf is crested over a hill, and you see off in the distance this majestic pyramid at the edge of the Methwood Forest.
Guys, the pointiest building I've ever seen.
Guys, you don't even know. It's not even just a building. It's the whole town.
Like
the whole thing's in there. You'll see when we get closer, and there's like
all
these
different...
But they're
going to like slide down and stuff.
How do they put a whole town in there?
Are there little like mouth holes? Are these people really small?
Well, no, I think when we get closer, it's just a perspective right now. When we get closer, you'll see that it's actually very, very big. I think.
Okay.
I mean, it's possible we go through some sort of shrink tunnel on our way there. No one mentioned that. So I don't think that's the case. I think we just...
So it's like hollow on the inside.
Yeah. And people live there and there's like...
Like cave people.
No, just normal people. People like me. Probably lots of people like me.
So it's an upside-down Mount Anthill?
Well, I think it's a right-way-up anthill, sort of, isn't it?
Well, or it's an...
My brain just did that.
Inside-out anthill. Because
the
anthill is down below. The hill part is just an opening.
I see. Are you telling me that people live underground, underneath this, and this is just how they get out of the ground?
Oh, so are they ants?
I don't think the people are like ants, nor are they the size of ants. But to be honest, it's my first time.
But if Glim had to choose, who would she kill first? Who would she kill first, and why wouldn't it be Sullivan?
The closer you get, obviously, the larger the pyramid becomes.
Thank you for explaining that.
Obviously.
Is it obvious, Russ?
Fair enough. You know what? I wrote this down and I was like, I'm never going to need this. Yikes. Joke's on me. I needed this exact paragraph that described how perspective works.
So we all gather round the godlike voice sitting crisscross applesauce listening to this description.
You don't quite realize, however, how large it is at a distance, but the closer you get, you realize it stands 460 meters tall, which is 1,500 feet.
Imperial for the win.
That's right. Take that. You pass through bountiful farmers' fields and see rich estates. Dragonborn, tending their crops, look up as you pass, catch sight of you, and give a... small wave from the distance. What is running through Glim's mind right now?
I think Glim is super excited for many reasons. Like, number one, we're almost here where she can declare herself and, like, get on with the business of saving the world whenever that happens or however it presents itself. But this is the next step in that journey. But also, I think it's just exciting because there's just lots of Dragonborn here. Right. And so she grew up kind of in an enclave of Dragonborn, but that was like, you know, 50 or 100 people. And this seems like a whole civilization of people that look like her, which is pretty exciting.
Are you like walking alongside the cart and like alongside Rolf kind of as we're going through? Are you inside the cart?
I imagine walking beside it. For some reason, I feel like, well, not for some reason. Certainly Glim likes to not sit
She wants to be active. And so right now she's also very excited. So probably, yeah, is walking beside the cart for sure.
Sullivan's like totally comes over and like puts his elbows on the edge of the cart because he's inside. He's definitely not walking. He'd be like 400 feet back. And he's got his head on his arms. And then he's like,
hey, Glim, I got a question for you. So, like, we never asked you this before, but I feel like we know each other really well enough now that we could probably, like, breach this topic. So, are you, like, Bahamut's baby?
Well,
I kept it straight so long.
And Moot gives a little, like, smack to Sully's.
No, it's like, honestly, though, like, okay, so you got two moms back at your home. That much I know. You talk about it a lot, which is great. Those of us who wish we had parents wish we had two moms, too. But they're not your real moms. You were left there as a baby. So will you find your mom's here, or are you Bahamut's baby? I'm just trying to piece it all together.
Oh, I mean, so mom and mama, I mean, they weren't my biological parents, but they are my parents. But I hadn't intended to seek out, you know, my biological family. I'm not sure that they're from here. But, I mean, in a way of speaking, I'm not... Like, Bahamut didn't have a baby and it was me. But I am, you know, like a descendant of Bahamut.
Okay.
Not in the way that, like, we're all children of Bahamut, because, you know, I mean, you've heard me preach before. You know what I'm talking about. We're all children of Bahamut.
That's true. Yeah, we've heard it.
I'm a child of Bahamut. Moot is definitely
Moot
for
is
sure.
Dense a child. We're all children of Bahamut.
Dense, probably. Yeah.
So not in that sort of intangible faith way, but in like a real sort of more tangible, maybe.
So he's like a great uncle or something, or like a great, 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 great. Probably, like, real great, like, probably a few more greats. Yeah. Like, grandpa?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I'm just referring to, like, the small bit of information that I found out about who had left me and who I was when I was left with my mom, so.
Well, yeah, well, because I was just thinking, because since we're here and everything, and you're all going to,
declare myself
and save the world, the path. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. That you might also want to find this out. Like, I don't know how often you're going to be here. It took us a real long time, just saying. Not that I'm saying we're not going to come back if you do decide to, like, you know, look this stuff up. I don't know. Moot, stop me from talking.
Yeah, look over there, Sully.
Sully for sure looks.
That's a little side. I loved watching Cicero's face through this whole thing. There was this moment of like, what the fuck is happening?
Sometimes are we walking
into a child of God moment? What is
a little bit. But only on Carla's behalf. Yeah. Glim's behalf.
That's good. You carry on a ways and look back to the hulking structure before you, and you begin to see it more clearly. It was a bit hazy before, but Glim, being that you're paying the most attention to what you're walking towards, you see now, like, carved out of it, there are giant holes carved or blown out of the sides of this pyramid. The stonework is crumbling and falling apart in pieces, and from a distance, it looked pristine, but the closer you get to it, you see that there is damage to the pyramid structure as you walk towards it.
You know, I guess in my mind, I always pictured it as being totally pristine, but it's kind of, it's a bit shabby.
Like a crap pile?
Well, I mean, that's, I guess, one way of putting it. I was gonna say comfortably worn in.
Well, it's probably pretty ancient, so, you know, these things they wear over time.
Or it's been under attack.
Oh, maybe that, yeah.
Oh, does it look like it's been under attack?
The damage goes kind of both ways. It looks like maybe there were, it may just worn to time, like much of the crumbling around like the points or the edges look more time-worn. However, the holes look like an equal amount of like blown in and blown out of the pyramid.
And is it like covered? Are they mole people in there, or is it all kind of windows? I know they're not
now
mole people.
She needs to know.
I'm just trying to picture what it, because people live in there, so there must be like,
yeah,
it is in each of the steps. It is sort of like open to. There's daylight in there,
yeah,
right?
Oh, that actually is a good question. So is it an Egyptian pyramid or is it a South American Aztec?
Yeah, more Mayan.
Or an Incan Mayan,
yeah,
pyramid.
I picture it as more of an Egyptian pyramid.
So there are fewer steps, as there were not really any kind of delineation from one level of the pyramid to the next level.
Exactly. Yes. And as far as any sort of window, aside from the holes blown in, it looks like it was at least built as complete stone from top to bottom.
Well, then, our ant/mole people ideas.
We are the underminers.
Yes.
Well, I can see clearly now because
the rain is gone.
The rain is gone. But I can see a lot of debris is in the way. I mean, gone are the sharp corners that had this as a pyramid. And I can see things have been blown this way and that way. So I've been holding on to that for a while. I really just had to let it out.
But can you see the obstacles in your way?
Well, yeah, it's all this debris that's on the ground from, because like it looks like, if I had to make a guess, there are probably pirates in there, right? Because like with cannons just like blowing out the side, and there was maybe like an airship that had like pulled up alongside it. This is I'm just exaggerating here. Write this down, Moot.
All it says is Sully's extrapolating? Question mark.
This is what we call in the bard business as spitballing.
Man, I should have become a bud, but instead I have a terrible past. And see, now's not the time. It's Glim's turn.
Oh.
Sully doesn't reveal his dark past.
Not yet. And it's not about me right now.
It's not about you. You're continuing forward. Up ahead, you see a pair of dragonborn leading a horse-drawn cart coming up the path towards you.
Last time we had a cart driving up towards us, we accidentally blew it up. So we should probably take a different
approach. Let's hope it goes so better
Sully,
this
maybe
time.
Maybe don't let Sully lead.
Accidentally, a little bit on purpose, totally blew it up.
Okay, I'm going to approach them and say, "Hello, are you citizens here?"
Yes, we are. Are you? Is everything okay?
Oh, everything's wonderful. It's my first time here.
Wonderful. Welcome. You must. How? No, it's okay. You have more questions than I do. Please carry on.
It's just a lot of cut off half sentences.
I'm purely for exposition. Please continue asking me questions.
Beep boop.
I told you you'd find out who the robot is. That's right.
You haven't selected which one in the role playing game. I asked them a question.
We've just arrived. I'm looking for the Citadel.
The dragonborn before you, who is a deep red scaled dragonborn, they have like a brown vest and black work pants that are kind of a bit tattered and torn. Looks behind them and says, "Yep, it's right."
Oh, the right whole there. Thing. The whole thing is what you call the citadel. Oh my goodness.
Citadel's a large term. I mean, that's the city, when you specifically say citadel, what is it you're referring to?
Well, say you had to go somewhere to swear an oath.
Okay.
Where would you go in Jerod Thamar?
Who are we oathing to?
Oh, I mean Bahamut, of course.
Oh, of course, of course. Inside the city, there are countless religious outfits, some citadels, some churches.
But are they all Bahamaniacs?
I'm sorry?
Did I say it wrong? Bahamanians? Bahamatians?
They're not all beholden to Bahamut specifically. No, we accept several religions.
Cool, but not all of them?
I think the term is Bahamatics.
Bahamatics. That sounds right. Yes. Yeah, that just feels right in the mouth.
Of course. Again, not all beholden to Bahamut, but Bahamut has a citadel within the city. Yes, I'm sure you could go there.
And any other sites you'd recommend? So if you were just here for a few days, what would you pop in on?
Besides your birth parents.
Oh, lot to unpack there.
Right.
you see the dragonborn you're speaking to kind of whisper, and then the other dragonborn shakes her head. Says, okay. Good.
Honey.
I don't know about the birth parents. It depends what kind of scene you're in for.
Zumba for sure.
What's Zumba?
You don't have Zumba here?
No.
Let me get you work cut out for you here.
Okay, well, I'll definitely be putting a class together before I go. So I guess maybe just watch for flyers or something in the next few days. Well, what do you guys think? What would you like to see? Dance? Are you into, like, a club scene or something more low-key? Maybe you follow a faith. I'm always going on and on about mine and never letting anybody else get a word in about theirs.
Well, I did go to Bard College, so if there is a place where bards go, or where people go to listen to bards, I can go there.
So more the club scene, then.
Yeah, we'd like to see some bards. Bards are great.
Yeah.
Great.
Well, plus, you gotta, like, get out here, right? It's what you're here for. You're gonna make a name for yourself.
But like you said, it's a gig economy. Yeah. You've gotta be hustling all the time.
Gotta get those silvers.
There you go.
Yeah.
Some
boss babe.
Yeah, well, excuse me, Dragonborns. Do you guys have silvers? I mean, I know you have coppers, but I prefer the silvers.
Yes, we have all sorts of different currency here.
Oh, you don't need to give it to him right now. He's not robbing you.
No, I didn't think he was robbing me.
But maybe you could perform right now. Get the wood out.
Well, I could tell you the story about the trolls.
Oh, we do love a good
story. Do you
want to
hear the story about the trolls?
Well, spoiler alert, it involves fire, both their like and dislike of it.
You know, it's trolls, their likes and dislikes.
this true. One troll, he had really high hair. And then he sang this song that was the song of the summer. It was really great.
How did it go? In just a rough tune, off key a little bit.
Can't stop the feeling.
Yeah. There it is. Oh, my goodness. You know what?
That's DreamWorks, please don't sue us.
They reach into their satchel and they toss you a silver. That's well worth a silver.
Well, especially you hear how high his voice got. Man, that's awesome. Right.
Surprising based on the low vocalizations off the top there.
Well, yes, I am a bird, so I have multi-octave range.
He's like one of those mimics.
Oh, well, I am insulted. I am not a mimic.
No, no, you're not a mimic. You can mimic. Like a mockery.
Oh.
Like a mock... But does you know that, what I'm saying.
But does that make me a mimic?
I don't...
If I can... Oh, no. Am I... Have I been a mimic this entire time?
Doesn't a mimic know they're a mimic, though?
Do you have any other questions regarding the city?
We're having this, like, existential crisis in front of these strangers.
No, I guess I'll look for a citadel. We need to get the name of, like, the best place to see the best bards. And...
Oh, yes, yeah. You want to... Yeah, sorry, just remember... I mean, you'll hear it when you come in, but just remember, out of the way.
Ooh.
Just remember okay. that. It'll come clear, and you'll just know.
I don't think you're a mimic.
But now I'm not so sure.
And I think we walk on and leave these poor, thank you so poor much.
People
behind.
It was so nice to meet you.
Lovely. You approach the city, and there are several of these blown-out holes in the pyramid lower down, but the path leads up to a wide ramp that you can determine was the one and only entrance to the pyramid at one point.
On the way up, though, Sullivan's light's totally like,
gosh, my days as a fire marshal, I just one entrance, one exit. This seems like really just like bad news BS.
You enter into what looks like a marketplace within this pyramid. There are large stone arches going down this entire level that you can make of it. You hear music playing somewhere in the distance. It's got a heavy, bassy beat to it with a mix of pop and rock that just is just perfect.
Does it seem like it's a bit out of the way?
The song or the distance?
The distance.
I mean, the distance is
the song is out of the way, right?
Yeah, well, no, I mean, it sounds like it's coming from everywhere and nowhere at the same time. But
Is the song that's playing is Dragonborn in the USA?
it has a there's a there's a you can pull, it's just almost like you can place it. It could be.
Is it I came in like a Dragonborn?
Dragonborn this way.
You know what? It's a medley mashup is what it is. As you listen longer, you it's all of these pop hits.
It's like a cabaret.
That's right. All over top of each other.
It's Dragonborn Cabaret. There we go.
I would pay to see that.
Yep. Right.
Amy would pay money to see that. Real human money, not silvers and golds.
Right.
The marketplace is busy. There are many, from what you can tell so far, solely Dragonborn throughout this entire floor. Conducting business and shopping and moving about. What do you do? Where do you go? What do you want to see?
I think I'm like delighted because everything is my size.
Yeah.
You know, like all of the like places selling clothing or armor or all the stuff is like I just feel like I'm just normal height here, which isn't normally the case necessarily. I'm pretty tall normally. Stand out
Meanwhile,
quite a bit.
Sullivan Slight is feeling quite diminished.
Dense is just kind of following along, just kind of looking at all of the things. And he's seen a lot of marketplaces. He's reminded of the co-op that he worked at to get the discount food. And he realizes that this place is so much grander than that marketplace that he worked at. And he's secretly jealous that he wasn't working here as a co-op because he would have had so many more choices. So he may actually be looking around to see if there is someone who seems like they're a manager or someone of some renown and rank to see if there are opportunities to
maybe some help wanted signs on different stalls. Exactly.
Are you looking?
It is the gig economy.
Always gotta be looking.
Are you looking at any specific type of merchant or just in general?
So he's looking not necessarily for a type of merchant. He is looking in more in general to see what is happening. He is looking over at the, like, the produce people first.
Okay.
You know, the people that have the vegetables and what have you. But he's looking around to see who seems to be crowded and overworked.
Well, that's a very astute type of thing for Dents to do.
Dents knows when work needs to be done.
Hey, man, you look like someone who gets it done.
Oh, well, I have to, or else they kick me out.
Yeah, you're looking at one of these. There are a couple different grocers or produce marketplaces, and you look over and you see one where there's a single... That was not the one I was going to pick, but okay. Just looking at the name generator and picking the hardest one on it.
There's so many vowels, you guys. There's so many U's in this name.
Ooh. Sorry, I pulled that page up. Shit. You don't see anybody. No, it's fine.
Everyone's full up.
Everyone's full
no
up.
No vacancies right. for yeah. employment.
No, you look over at one of these produce, and you do see one where it looks... busy. Like, it looks like there are people lined up, but you only see one person working behind the quote-unquote till area.
Okay. What he does is he immediately walks behind the counter, and he goes, "Next up, what do you need?"
And sorry, I said person. I meant Dragonborn. That was kind of clear.
Right, right.
But yeah, you step beside...
I fucking love your style. I'm just, I work here now.
Just going in. Right. Yeah. I've done this before, guys.
The female dragonborn comes over and she's bronze scaled. She's wearing an apron over her blouse and long pants. And she looks
and her name tag says.
And her name tag says Mialdik Nurud.
Last name?
Doesn't have a last name.
Her last name wouldn't be on her name tag, Amy. Come on.
Right.
No. What if it was that long? Her name tag's like...
It's not a name tag. It's a name shirt.
Yes. It's fully also from has her social insurance number
and address. Right. And docs. And that's family why nobody history. Works there, because everybody gets doxed. Like, right. Come on. She comes over to you and says, "Excuse me, what is it you're doing?"
"I'm working. Duh."
Cool.
"You should be too. There's a line."
Make a persuasion check.
Come for the deals, stay for the sass.
There's a line.
You know what? This was about you, Glenn, but it's no longer about you.
I know, it's not anymore. I only care about this.
Mm-hmm. Dirty 20.
Okay.
Oh, my God.
No one told me that somebody else was coming today. I thought it was just supposed to be me.
"Well, I'm sorry I'm late, but clearly I'm here just in time.
Oh,
let's
get
to work, and then we can talk about everything else later."
Okay. Did you need your name tag? I don't know if they sent one down.
"It's okay. We can work on that later. What do you need? Who's next?"
Both of you get to work as the three of you look in astonishment at your friend who's just ducked into start working.
Did he just get a fucking job?
I guess so.
Did he just
like
waltz
that?
Up and get a job?
Wow.
I mean, I know he kept talking about the gig economy, but I didn't think it was like this.
No. We hadn't seen it in action. We'd just been on the road. It's amazing.
Okay, so next time, I'm just saying, we need to just go up and be like, "We're part of this caravan."
Yeah, I think you're right.
"We're protecting you now."
I think if Dance has taught us anything, it's that confidence is key.
Definitely. Damn. Okay. Hey, Dents, we'll catch up with you later?
Sure. As soon as I clock out, I'll meet up with you guys.
Yeah, okay. We'll find you.
Maybe I'll catch you on my break. I'm
yeah,
supposed
you
to get two 15-minute breaks.
2:15 and a 30. Don't you let them do you dirty like that.
Oh, okay. Yeah, thank you. I forgot about that.
Okay.
Welcome to our sideshow of workers' rights.
Workers' yep. rights.
Sorry,
labor laws.
Labor laws and the importance of a union. Let's talk about it.
Cicero, I didn't tell you that I have a bad habit of starting side spin-off stories.
Yeah.
So right. Dents may be one of those.
So we're gonna need you back. Right. You know, just right.
We'll check
your
back
account.
In. Dents will be assistant manager. Right. We'll check back in again. Yes. He will be manager.
Yes.
Now he's opened his own competitor store right beside this one. Puts him out of business. It gets real cutthroat.
And now I'm the CEO.
That's right. Ah, this is a success story. I'm loving it.
Oh, it's amazing. Okay. The other three, I don't care what you're doing. We go back to... No, I'm kidding. What do you do?
Does anything matter anymore? I don't think so.
I've broken the game.
Nope. This is all I care about now.
Welcome to the Dense Cast.
Thanks for supporting the Fable and Folly Network. Here's another show we know you'll love.
Every day in the nice little Canadian town of Beaver Mount, Ontario, is pretty much the same. Folks are polite. There's a hockey game that evening. And someone gets brutally murdered. Sorry About the Murder, a very Canadian murder mystery podcast. New episodes weekly. Listen to season one now by typing Sorry About the Murder into your favorite podcast app.
Ah, ben look.
Hi, I'm Yusuf Dahl, and when I was 18, I was convicted of selling drugs. For the past 3 years, I've had difficulty finding housing because it is legal in the United States to discriminate against individuals that have a past drug distribution conviction on their record for life. It doesn't matter if it was a hard drug like heroin or a drug that's now legal or partially legal in many states across the country, like marijuana. The Thurman Amendment was introduced to the Fair Housing Act in 1988 by segregationist Strom Thurmond, and it's since been used to deny housing to all people. But because people of color are disproportionately jailed for drug charges, we are affected more. My goal is to overturn this amendment to start an end to housing discrimination that unfairly targets people of color. If you would like to join this movement, please visit ThurmanAmendment.org to learn more.
A message from the Fable and Folly Network. The Fable and Folly Network supports creators of exceptional audio stories, including the one you're listening to right now. If you love our shows, we want to hear from you. Complete our listener survey at fableandfolly.com/survey. This will help us learn more about you, what you like, what you'd like to hear more of, and how we can maintain an inclusive, safe atmosphere. As a thank you for your participation, we have extras and behind-the-scenes content from your favorite shows. Fans make the network what it is. Thanks for listening, and we can't wait to hear from you. Find our listener survey at fableandfolly.com/survey today.
So I guess we should probably find you that citadel, right? I thought he was going to perform as a bard, but he's completely abandoned that idea. He's now working at this stall over here. Totally fine. I like his commitment.
Well, the steady paycheck is probably more appealing than the gig economy.
Well, you know what? You need a side hustle. Right?
Oh, wait, so barding could maybe be the side hustle now.
Well, I think, like, he really bards hard at night, but then, like, makes sure he goes to his 9-to-5. Look, Cicero's not. You need something to pay the bills, but then you really pursue your passion on your off time. Speaking of passion, Glim, do you get, like, a special tingle anywhere in your body to tell us if we're getting close to this Bahamut temple?
Well, I mean, some of these Dragonborn are pretty handsome, so I guess...
Oh.
Oh.
Glim, who taught you to speak like that?
Well, you, Sully.
Aw, damn.
Guys, I feel a little bit, nervous now that we're here. So maybe just let's casually walk around the marketplace here and... I guess maybe let's see if you see anyone who's, like, wearing robes or seems like they might be a religious figure. I don't know if I want to just start asking people.
All right. So you, like, want us to walk around here looking inconspicuous.
You all three of you stop, look around, and realize the only halfling and only half-orc... Everyone else is Dragonborn.
I start to whistle.
I'm going
to
pull out my floppy sun hat because I think that's going to help me like blend into the crowd. Mm.
This isn't a problem. Nobody's like you get occasional look.
All right. On your 20. Over there. I see someone.
Yeah, what
with
do you
Yeah. On and I point really obviously. There's a guy wearing a robe over there. He could be a religious figure.
You look over and you see a dragonborn, looks older, in a red velvet robe.
Looks comfortable as fuck.
He looks cozy, hey?
Only a guy filled with the satisfaction of Bahamut could look that comfortable, am I right?
I mean, you're not wrong. You're not wrong. Okay, you're right. That's a good place to start. I should just ask. I'm going to approach the berobed man.
I feel like we're like unnecessarily loudly supportive. Like,
yeah, you got this. Don't you worry about anything. You can do this, Glim. It's what you came here for. You came all the way.
I assume you're still on like the marketplace level. You hadn't got too far. He's looking at many leather-bound books.
Excuse me, sir.
He stops and turns to you. Yes?
I'm so sorry to interrupt. I just arrived here.
Welcome.
And thank you. And I'm looking for a citadel dedicated to Bahamut so that I can swear my oath.
Wow.
And I noticed that you are wearing that amazing robe. Mm. And I thought, A, you could maybe give me directions. And if not, then B, you could tell me where you got that very amazing robe.
A lady runs a robesmith down the street.
A robbery.
You know.
I used to be a roboteer.
You should get a job there. She's looking for people.
Yeah, think about it.
Podcast is over. We're all just going to get jobs.
Jobs. Right. We all just got employed and then just kind of drifted apart because, you know how that happens. Tomorrow. You're working opposite shifts. And
it's tough to get together, yeah.
The perfect level of need employment, want employment. It's just always working. So you said you were pledging your oath. Did you say to whom?
Oh, Bahamut.
Ah, yes. Yes, there is a citadel of Bahamut on the second floor. It's,
next to the housewares department.
Well, thank
it's
you.
It's the beyond part of the Bed Bath & Beyond?
Yes.
Yep.
you know, it's often difficult to find. It's, they're not showy of their... of their citadel. I could escort you if that would work for you.
Oh, I mean that'd be really nice. I'm Glim, by the way.
Nice to meet you. I'm Forak.
It's nice to meet you. Thanks for your help.
Of course. Well, it's your first time here. I look forward to whatever it is your oath brings you. It's not often you run into someone pledging an oath.
Oh, I mean, I thought that was the main thing that happened here. No?
Oh, not specifically. Not, well, more so since the Civil War.
The Civil War was between...
Well, it was a few generations ago. Not many, actually. Two or three. Do you know of... obviously, you don't know of it. You don't know when it was. How long have you and your clan been gone?
Well, don't really know. Abandoned as a baby, brought up by in a new to me family. So
some time ago.
So some time ago, at least as long as I've been alive, which is about 20 years.
Gerard Thamar here was a stronghold for Dragonborns, and still continues to be. It, at a point, became distrustful of anyone who was not Dragonborn, and even those who were Dragonborn and pledged their oath to Bahamut or Tiamat were not seen as...
trustworthy?
Yeah. Civil war broke out between those who sought those religious figures and those who did not, and, well, the establishment collapsed in on itself, and the capital, well, it was under siege from inside and out of people trying to choose what's right.
Oh, should I be being more circumspect about the fact that I'm here to swear an oath to Bahamut? Because I thought that would just be, like, really great and cool.
No, there are few who still hold the right that the gods have no place, but it is not as widely received. And you are welcome here, as you are. The dust has long settled, and for the most part, the capital is peaceful. Can't you hear the music?
Yes, it seems like a great medley.
Oh, imagine dragons. So good.
Yeah.
So good. Sorry, this story tends to drag on. But the civil war of time passed. You were obviously one of the exiled groups prior to this happening. But I will lead you. I will escort you to your oath, and hopefully you will find your answers there.
Who did you oath upon?
I have not pledged an oath.
So you're just, these are legit just comfy robes.
Yes.
All right. Yes. I'm very sorry that we kind of narrowed in on you like old guy in robes.
Well, not many religious figures wear these sleek, sexy red robes.
You know what? They hug in a lot of special places.
Thank you for noticing.
I am waist level.
Yep. We cut back to Dents.
I was just going to
I was going to say, he's got to be on a 15 by now, right?
Mia walks over, taps you on the shoulder, says, okay, you've been great. I don't know who sent you. I don't know where you came from, but you're amazing.
Well, I came from over there, and then I came over here, and I went to work, because work needed to be done.
Yeah, but who sent you?
The people? Like, well, my friends, they brought me. They didn't send me. I sent myself.
So, like, main office didn't send you?
Oh, there is a main office, maybe. But, I haven't been there yet.
Okay.
Maybe, should I go there after this? Well, actually, I was thinking maybe I'll go, so I'm a bard.
Oh.
In my off time. So, I'm hoping that I can get off of work early enough so that I can go to, perform at the out of the way.
The out of the way. Oh, you're talking about the party club where all the kids hang out.
Well, that's what I was told. I was told that I could go and perform there. Do you know anyone there?
Well, my son goes and hangs out there.
Oh. Well, maybe he can get me a spot on stage.
I you know what? Ask for, Sharny Turd.
Sharny Turd.
Oh, excuse me, what? Tell me what? Show me.
Sharny Turd.
Why on earth?
That's my name I wrote down.
Did you stroke out midway?
No. Sharny. It's right there. Sharny Turd.
Sharny Turd.
So,
that's a great name.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Yes. Yeah, go. Do you plan on continuing to work here?
Well, I mean, if you're busy, then yeah, I'll come back to work. But, if the day is over, I'll take my pay now.
I need to stop you for a second. I fucking respect the fact that he walked in out of nowhere, was like, I work here, and then was like, yo, can I blow off early? I've
early.
Got a gig. Can I get my pay before I go? Every bit of that is absolutely perfect. Oh my God. I'm crying.
Make a persuasion roll. I think we're going to need a luck of the die to see what happens next.
That is fantastic. I've known this person on so many levels.
15.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, if you intend to come back, she hands you a form. You fill this out. I don't know your schedule. You seem aloof. And she puts down a copper and a silver and says, this should cover clearing that mess. Fill out the paperwork and then go to your gig and then come back and I'll have contacted
main office and see if they sent you.
Well,
or if I. If,
but you think I've got feet. You said I'm a hoof? No, I've got feet. They're...
Yes, you do.
Right, but so I'm not a hoof.
Okay, yeah. A loof. A loof.
A loaf? I think that's what you mean, a loaf. Yeah. I'm not that either.
Oh, sorry.
But I could,
what,
I could use a
loaf. What would you
loaf,
like to be referred to as?
Oh, I'm Dense.
Nice to meet you, Dense. Mia. Fill out this paperwork, Dense, and we'll talk about future employment. I think this will cover any incidentals between here and there, though.
Oh, okay. Well, yes, I can do this.
Good.
I'll bring the form back.
Okay, perfect.
After, yes. So I'm going to go find Shiny Turd now.
Perfect.
Do a lot of people yell, "There's no time!" at Dense? A lot?
Yes. Yes.
Well, I'm just wondering.
Yes.
Okay, I love it. Dense walks off with his paper and his copper and silver in pocket.
Looking out for Shiny Turd.
Yes. Oh, wait a minute. Before he goes, he'll say to Mia,
"So, my friends that brought me, they didn't send me, but they brought me.
Okay.
They went to one of them, Glim. She was the Dragonborn. You saw her.
Sure.
She went to go see Bahamut.
Like to actually
song.
To actually see Bahamut or to go to the church of Bahamut?
She's doing an appearance.
No, I think she went to go see Bahamut. And tell him how much she loved him.
You see her look to her feet and just think for a moment. Trying to.
And then she yells, "There's no time! Go!"
Just trying to piece it together. Be like, "Look, your friends probably went upstairs. Another level up. There's a church up there. Bahamut. I don't know if Bahamut's coming today. I didn't get the memo." Bring the paperwork back once you've talked to my son, Shiny Turd. See if you can get a gig there. If not, we can find something here for you. Maybe we'll move you off of cash.
Okay, well, I mean, that's all of that stuff sounds great.
Great.
I'll look forward to it.
Okay.
Thank you. See you later.
Thank you, Dense.
See you later, Mia.
Oh, my God.
Which direction does Dense go? Does Dense follow the music?
So Dense is going to find Bahamut and his friends.
Okay, and he takes context clues well. He goes upstairs rather than
downstairs.
I don't know what else he could have done.
Right.
Well, you tell us.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Can there please be someone in like a Bahamut mascot suit making an appearance at the Citadel that day?
Roll history.
Citadel Times Square.
Roll history right. for me, and then that will help determine where you make it to.
Oh my God.
Oh boy. 4.
Oh,
love
no,
it.
No.
We'll come back to Dense momentarily.
Yeah.
Dense is on his own adventure.
Forak leads Glim, Moot, and Sully. You wouldn't have been able to bring Rolf up, but there would have been a stable at some point along the way that you would have been able to leave him. But leads Glim, Moot, and Sully up to the second floor and down a series of what seem like, to your definition, alleyways within this structure. And he brushes his hand along the wall and some dust flakes off at an entrance. And Glim, you immediately see it as the dust flakes away. There is a carving of the symbol of Bahamut, the white dragon's head, in the stone. He says, this is the citadel you speak of.
Thank you so much. And we'll definitely check out that robe lady later, right, guys?
Oh, yeah.
Because, 100%.
Again, you look amazing.
Thank you. I hope you find what you're looking for in here.
great. I think we're going to go to the out of the way later. If you wanted to meet up, I'd be happy to buy you a mead or...
The out of the way?
Yeah, my friend's a bard and he's going to...
Oh, the party club.
Yeah, if you want to come to the party club with us later.
Great. Sure.
Do you have like separate party robes or is it the same robe situation?
You're going to have to wait to find out there, good friend.
Okay.
Forek walks off. The three of you are standing outside the citadel.
I'm going to take a deep breath and I'm going to open the door. Assuming it's like a church, not like that you can just walk into, not like someone's private residence that I've just wandered into. Again, Bahamut doesn't
Kicks
live
the
here.
Door open.
So I'm going to open the door.
I feel like Moot and Sully kind of just like flank her, like giving some respectful space. But also like we're here for you, you know, trying to strike that balance.
Sure.
Okay, you walk in, Glim, and you see this first. It's a modest dwelling. There are pews. They're old, worn wood, kind of too deep in this, what looks like, from the size, could be no bigger than a large storage closet. There is a chair up at the front. It's a handmade wooden chair. There are a few candles lit along the back wall. And there is a male dragonborn kind of dusting off some shelves. He looks back to you as you walk in and continues dusting and says, no service right now. Can I help you with something?
Oh, I hope so. My name's Glim. Well, Nerixia's Akra, but everybody calls me Glim. And I need to swear an oath to Bahamut so that I can save the world. So do you think I could do that here, or... We've traveled a pretty long way.
As soon as you say your name, you notice him stop dusting. And his body language from behind, even like there's like this deep breath in and like sigh of what you could presume as relief. And he turns around to you and you see his eyes are like glassy. And he says, you said Nerixia's Akra.
Yeah, but everybody calls me Glim. You can call me Glim.
Glim. It's a pleasure. Pleasure to meet you. Please come in. And he dusts off one of the chairs before you and says, please be seated. Your friends as well.
Thanks. These are my friends, Moot and Sully.
Oh, yeah, but we're like barely here. We're here for support. We're just, yeah.
Yeah, we'll just blend into the background.
Oh, don't say that. They're part of my destiny to save the world, so.
Moot, as you say, blend into the background, you look around and like there is no background. There's like four chairs, essentially. You step as far away as you can, but it's still not that far. You're still within like 5 to 10 feet tops.
Yep. Perfect. Neat. All right.
It was told that you would come, but we didn't know when or how or where.
What do you mean it was told I would come? Me personally, or just like a mysterious, cool dragonborn would arrive with two super cool friends.
He goes and he opens his book and turns and shows it to you. On the date that it is, he turns to and says, Nerixia's Akra will pledge her oath.
Wow. Did Bahamut tell you that?
It's been in the book for ages.
Huh. I mean, I'm glad to see that. We really have traveled a very long way, and I've been telling everybody I have a destiny to save the world, and this seems like some good proof, right, guys?
Well, I mean, I was told before, but I mean, it's in a book.
Yeah, I already believe you.
I picture Moot and Sully, who said they're going to blend into the background, like peeking up and around, trying to look at this
We're
book.
For sure like 3 inches away.
Well, I mean, I have a million questions, but... I guess I should just swear the oath first, right? And then maybe we'll stay here for a couple days, guys, and we can ask all these questions. And I'm sorry, I haven't even asked your name yet.
No, of course. My name is Akef. It is my pleasure, Glim.
It's so nice to meet you. So I haven't actually really sworn a lot of oaths before.
Oh.
So, I have this, and I pull out that piece of leather that, like, is that tooled piece of leather that has Bahamut's symbol on it. That's my symbol. Mm-hmm. And this is sort of how I, like, really talk with Bahamut, is using this. So, should I use that? Or is there a special ritual?
It has been such a long time since anyone has been here to do what you intend to do. He looks down at the book and says, there's nothing in this book that says what comes next.
Okay, well, I guess I'll just do what feels right. Right?
If it feels good, do it.
But even if you shouldn't.
Is there, I know you said there was like pews, but is there like an altar kind of area?
Where there would be an altar, there is a single chair facing back to the pews.
Oh. Okay.
Ekif goes and lays the book on a ledge behind the chair, lights a few more candles. Your friends best join me.
Oh yeah, for sure. You have some privacy while you're doing this. Maybe we should find Dent, because I feel like even though he's been with us for such a short time, he probably wants to be involved with this. Also, quick question from Amy. Is she sitting, like, backwards on the chair, looking forwards at the book? Because that's a visual I got. The chair is facing the pews, but he put the book behind the chair? She's like...
Well, she didn't sit in the chair.
Yet.
Right?
Like he is she going to do it backwards style? Are you going to do it backwards style?
So the chair he brushed off was one of the pews, right?
No,
so,
you said that where an altar would be, there's a chair. And he said the book behind the chair, but the chair was looking out the pews.
If you were to sit backwards in the chair and read the book, yes.
You know what? I hear Bahamut's a really cool guy. Sorry, I guess we exit.
Ekif ushers...
He's a really cool guy.
Yes. Turns his hat backwards.
Yeah. Ekif leads the two of you out, Moot and Sully, and looks back to you, Glim, and says, I'm sorry I can't be of more assistance. I will be just outside if you need anything, though.
Okay, thank you.
He pulls the door closed.
It's the middle time now. We're here, and we're going to have some fun talking about stuff.
Like,
I think we're cheese whiz today.
I didn't understand the words you just said.
Yeah. I'm also stunned silence.
Okay. No, I'm sorry.
I understood.
None of you.
I understood. I think we're blank today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, cheese whiz.
Cheese whiz.
What?
I heard all the words and I still don't understand.
Okay, so
because that goes in like, the middle of like a sandwich.
Sandwich. Yes, I was gonna say. Please, none of you were poor enough growing up that you just had cheese whiz sandwiches.
Of cheese whiz was like when we had like my mom got some money and we bought some cheese.
Yeah,
whiz.
It was like a special treat.
I didn't get that kind of
the
thing.
Name
yeah.
brand stuff. Oof. You betcha. So I'm just feeling like we're the cheese whiz today.
Yep.
Welcome to the middle.
Welcome to the middle.
Welcome to the cheese whizzy middle.
Thank you for being here with us. We love having you here on this adventure that we are riding on. We want to let you know that we have some great things going on over on our website, which we don't normally talk about all that much, dumbdragons.com.
Yeah, we have a whole website over there.
Yeah, you'll find there's some coming soon things on there. Don't worry about that. It's coming.
Just ignore
coming
that part.
Soon. So soon.
But one thing we want you to take a look at, because people have been raving about it, is our Support Us tab. Because we have TeePublic and Redbubble stores where you can buy tapestries.
Yes, this
oh,
people
man.
Have
tapestries that are being
okay.
People
In
have
Russia's
actually
defense.
Been raving about this. Yeah. nobody has been raving about the support tab on our website, but what he really meant was we have these shops where you can buy fun stuff. So like t-shirts and hoodies, et cetera, but like phone cases and tapestries. So if you want
masks as well, yeah.
Like a big Flamykins tapestry to grace what I assume would be your very formal dining room, you can do that.
Or bedroom, you know, right above the bed. Mm-hmm.
I hope that's where it's going. One of our patrons, we were on a call with them, and they were like, hey, Russ, I'm on your store, and I notice I can't buy this tapestry of a Flamykins. And I was like, I probably didn't check it because I was
that's
like,
not a thing who's going to buy a
tapestry of Flamykins? Check it, and I will buy it. And I said, okay. And they did.
And now we need pictures.
I was just going to say,
listening.
Pictures of that would be wonderful.
We need pictures.
If you have any t-shirts, we'd love to see a picture of that.
Oh, sure. That's true.
Send them to us. You can send them to us on Twitter or Facebook or join us in our Discord. All the links are in the description always. So we'd love to see all that. But yeah, dumbdragons.com. Take you right to our stores through that. Drop down from the support us that everybody's raving about. I don't know if I told you about that. Just website organization, I think, is what I was trying to get at. It's just everybody raves about how well our website is
organized. And that they know about the website at all.
And that they know about the website at all. But
very
it's
popular
there.
Website.
And we'd love for you to check it out. That's all I got. Okay. We're going to go let you get back to this episode now. Okay, bye. You're standing alone.
Okay.
In this room. There are a dozen candles lit around. You look up, and it is at first a stone ceiling. You look back down into the candles, and then you hear the sound of birds chirping. Same sound that you heard when you were taken to the Church of Bahamut by your mama. You look back up and you see a clear blue sky and canaries flying above.
Is the room as it was? Just the sky is now the outdoors?
Yeah, the room itself hasn't changed. It does appear that there's more light in the room with the appearance of the ceiling changing.
Okay.
But nothing physical has changed about the room.
Then I will sit in the chair backwards. Great suggestion. And I'm going to sort of hold that piece of leather in front of me, that tooled piece of leather, and say, hey, Bahamut, it's me, Glim. I don't really know what I'm supposed to do, but I do want to tell you that I love you and I want to serve you and I'm totally prepared to do whatever it takes to save the world. So I swear this oath to you that I will give everything I have, even my life, to serve you.
A moment goes by. What are you looking at, or are you looking at anything?
I think I'm sort of focusing, like holding that like my holy symbol and sort of focusing my energy into that, because that's how I sort of do my day-to-day chatting with Bahamut. So that's how I feel close to him.
The symbol you hold in your hands begins to... you feel a warmth coming from it. You look up into it, and there's a glow. A white glow to it. You catch your eye on the book that Ekif laid on the shelf in front of you. You see that where the date was written, and there was a bit of a gap in the page, you see the page begin to glow again, and writing begin to appear.
Okay, well, I'm going to get up and read that.
You feel a breeze brush across your scales, your clothing begin to move with it. And you look down at the book. And you see coming into view, almost as if being written before you. And it says,
protect your friends, protect your people, and save this realm. The light on the book begins to fade. The ink begins to dry. You look up and you see the blue sky gone, but you still hear the chirping of the birds throughout the chamber. The light begins to settle back into the candles, and then you feel a warmth rush through your symbol and through your body. You feel at ease.
As the room returns to normal, Glim says, guys? I think I'm done. You can come back in. And I kind of walk over towards the door, and I'm going to open the door to let them back in.
I think we for sure fall into it, because I feel like maybe Moot and Sully were definitely pressed up against that door, just like trying to listen. Number one, to make sure that Glim is okay. And number two, though, like if Bahamut was speaking, we totally wanted to hear it.
Fair.
You go to exit, and Moot and Sully are waiting there for you. Ekif is standing off a respectable distance. And Glim, you look back in, and you see for a moment, like, the blue light that you saw before. And you look up, and you see a long, silvery dragon cross above in the sky before the sky begins to fade again.
Sully looks up to where Glim's gaze is going and says, what are you looking at?
Yeah, never mind. I probably didn't see anything, but I know I definitely saw something. Sully wouldn't understand.
The three of you walk out, and Ekif bids you farewell, at least for the moment. You head back out down the hallway which you came, and you see Dents standing there with a large silver dragonborn who's got a big sign. Looks like they were spinning it, and it says, big sales this way.
This guy works for the robe people, doesn't he?
Hey, guys. I found Bahamut. How did I find him before you guys? I worked, and I still found him first. Where did you guys go?
Oh, we were just over at the... Yeah, this is Bahamut. You found him.
Yeah, I did it. That's what I asked people. I asked them where Bahamut was. And they pointed this way, and here he is.
Amazing.
The kindness of strangers, am I right?
So, so Dents looks at the guy with the sign, and he says,
my friend over there, the dragonborn, I think she thinks you're kind of cute.
The dragonborn, who was previously very confused, looks back at Glim and says,
really?
You know, a bunch of us are all gonna head over to out of the way. We're celebrating.
The party club?
Oh, the party club, yeah.
The party club, my friend Dan's, he's a bard, so he's gonna maybe perform, and I've had a pretty big day so far, so I think we have a lot to celebrate. But I mean, you could come if you want when you get off, when you're done doing whatever this.
Sure, yeah. I'm spinning signs till six here.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is it just a sign that just says Bahamut and there's an arrow on one end of it?
What's the sign you say? Just spinning in all sorts of directions.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
because if that's the case, Glim does think he's pretty cute.
Okay, you're heading to the party club?
Yeah, uh-huh. We're heading to the party club. Dents needs to find Shiny Turd.
Okay.
Right. So
you head back down to the main floor where you primarily heard the music kind of faded when you went upstairs, but you walk around the main floor, and it takes you a while, but you follow it and find it. It goes down a set of stairs, and there's a door where you can hear music coming from behind it. There's it looks like a steel door with a slat in it.
Guys, I've seen things like this before. Like, there's going to be, like, a password or something.
Okay.
Dance, you have more experience, so you probably know.
Dance knocks on the door.
There's a moment, and then the slider clunks open. There's a set of dragonborn eyes from behind, and there's a beat, and then says, "What do you get when a dragon sneezes?"
Or something. That's the password. That's what Sully
said. Get out
of
the way! Get out of the way!
Okay.
The slider goes back and the door opens and there's this a ruckus club inside.
I like that we've just given the secret password to literally everyone we've talked to, though, right? Terrible with secrets.
So we get in, and so now Dents is now looking for someone that works there.
You need to find, like, the club manager, right?
Yeah, definitely. You'd see two bartenders. There's a couple servers walking around. There's one male dragonborn who looks like they're a little bit more off in the back. Looks like they're kind of working some books or something.
Dents sees this guy and he goes over to that dragonborn who is working the books or something and says,
Do you know Shiny Turd?
Who sent you?
Mia did.
My ma sent you?
Yes, I'm supposed to work tonight.
Who are you? He looks down at his book.
I'm Dents.
Dents? You're supposed to work tonight?
I'm Dents.
Tonight?
I'm the bard.
The bard?
I'm a bard.
Oh, we had a bard that canceled. Are you the bard that canceled?
No. How could I cancel if I'm supposed to work tonight?
Well, maybe you're the fill-in. What's your, sir, Dents?
Dents.
Yeah, you're working tonight. You're up in 15 minutes.
Oh, okay. Let me get my material together.
Well, you better be ready. There's a hot crowd here. We don't want to get them cold before the big guy goes on.
Oh, okay. Well, who's the big guy? Maybe I can cater my material for that.
You know Puff?
Oh.
Fuck off.
He's a magic dragon.
Exactly. You know him.
Yes. I've heard about him. I get to open for Puff.
You get to open for Puff. It's your big day, kid.
Oh, take that. Take that.
Bad boy. Shout out.
This is the big break that I was looking for. Oh, all of my dreams are going to come true. Maybe Glim was right. This is my destiny. I can change the world. Right here. In this upside down anthill. This is amazing. All right. I'm going to go ahead and get ready.
So you guys see Dents go off into the corner. What you didn't notice before... Somehow he pulled out like a hood, and he's got this hood on his head, and he's just like kind of bouncing around. He's saying things like spaghetti, spaghetti. It's just, yeah. So he's really, you know that he's been serious before, but he hasn't been serious. But now Dents is serious. He's ready to go.
You ready? It's time to get on.
Okay.
Hey, everybody. Me, Shiny Turd, here again. Getting you ready before Puffy comes on. We got a new kid in town opening up for Puff. Give him a warm welcome. It's Dents.
We're like clapping, wild. Freaking out.
Dents comes in, and he flaps his wings, and... He sits there and he looks around and he goes,
"Oh, wait a minute. Are you guys ready to laugh? Don't laugh too hard. I don't want to get singed."
Ha ha!
It's uproarious laughter because dragon puns go over very well.
So you guys live in an upside down anthill, but what happens when you fart? If someone farts and someone else laughs, does the whole room go up in flames? I was just curious.
We fade out on Dense's performance, laughter uproarious throughout, and we check back in as Dense, you join back with your group.
That was great, I think. What did you guys think?
I'm crying still. It was so funny. Oh my God. We hadn't had the chance to see you perform before. Oh,
it was really amazing.
Wow.
Oh, well, thank you.
I think you really found your niche here with these dragon puns.
I don't know. Maybe. I'm going to go find Shiny Turd because maybe he'll give me some money.
I bet he will. He's going to want you.
He definitely will.
Oh, you're such a hit. I think you're going to be a huge star.
The three of you see it before Dense does, but Dense, you turn around and standing behind you is Puff.
Oh.
Hey, no one has ever killed that good before me, ever.
Well.
I want you to come on the road with me. What do you think there, Dense?
Wait, are we going to perform not on the road?
Yeah. No, we're going to perform. We're going to perform in the clubs. And then go on the road to get to the clubs.
Oh, wait a minute. And we'll get paid, too.
Sign this piece of paper.
Oh, I've got a lot of papers to sign.
Mia called ahead, said you got to get the paperwork first.
Oh, yes. Yeah, I've got some paperwork. So, wait a minute, I can sign this paperwork and that paperwork, and then I'll have two jobs.
Yep.
Oh.
Yep, if I'm this signing. One falls through, it's second guessing. Quite a few things.
Okay. Well, I probably should get my manager to read through this,
and he hands it to Sully.
Sully takes it and takes a pair of glasses. No one knows where he got them from. Out of his pocket, puts them on his face, and just like peruses, licks his finger, flips it, makes a little like. Note or like changes somewhere and like initials beside it. It's like, yeah, no, it looks pretty good. I made a couple of suggested changes there, but I mean, all in all, it looks real solid. I would definitely take this, Dense. I would definitely take this.
Oh my gosh, this is amazing.
And he signs it and he hands the note back over to Puff.
We'll get started right away, but first I must do one thing.
And he turns back around and he kneels down so that he's eye level with Sully. And he says,
Sully, you were my first friend that I met 3 weeks ago. And you became my manager. Just like Glim prophesized. You changed my life. Allow me to change yours. Because sometimes you get in fights and you need protection. So please take this.
And he reaches back behind his back. Unsheaths his sword or pulls it out, unbuckles it from himself and hands over sheath and all the frightful sword of reflection to Sully.
Sully grabs it and holds it in his arms.
You didn't have to do this. I'm really touched. I just, I don't, So, like, in emotions and stuff. So, it's like you take care of yourself. And guys, did you see he gave me a sword?
Yeah, that super cool shiny one.
I feel like I need a sword now. Everyone else has swords.
I mean, there's everything at the marketplace. We can swing by the robe place tomorrow. We can probably get you a new sword. I don't know. I think they have everything here.
You take care of yourself, Dent. And Sully chokes a little bit.
Well, let me just tell you, if you guys see us in town, you will definitely have a seat right up in the front. Wherever we go.
We wouldn't miss it.
That's awesome.
The crowd cheers as Puff takes the stage, and we fade out on the sweet tunes of Puff, the Magic Dragon. As the friends go their separate ways on this adventure. Ah, fuck, I didn't have a way to end that. That's how we end it. Okay, bye.
Okay, bye.
The song Long Road Ahead is by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.filmmusic.io. All other music and sound effects can be found at EpidemicSound.com or BoomLibrary.com. A huge thank you to our supporting producers, Christian Brown, Derelith, Devin Michaels, Gabriel Lynch, Jacob Madden, Jessica Babiak, Cat Waterflame, Mark Hartless, and Stevie. To find out more about how you can support Dungeons & Dragons, visit us at Patreon.com/DumbDragonCast. Where you can have exclusive access to 50-plus hours of bonus audio content, create in-game NPCs and items, as well as play games with the cast. Patreon.com/DumbDragonCast. Have a great week, and we'll talk soon.
Oh, I mean, I have pamphlets, but those are about Bahamut. Oh, do
I figure Sully would have taken Sully his at pile one point of was flyers and just flyers, thrown them yeah. off yeah, a rooftop sorry. And been like, done.
Yeah, I'm pretty okay. sure I probably did that. Okay. Did you scrapbook one into one of your notebooks, Moot?
Oh.
Because I think that's next level, right? You take notes, and I mean, I it do. Just makes sense that scrapbooking is the next kind of evolution. Of
he's not there yet, really but is. He's leaning in that direction for sure.
I just need a bit of decoupage, man. It's just fine. Her name tag says Mia.
Oh, don't you fucking do that.
Very few use in that word.
Miel Dicknurid.
Okay.
Hey, Bahamut? It's me, Glim. Amy, stop.
Hello, God?
Exactly.
Dungeons & Dragons is a Dumb Dragons production.
The Fable & Folly Network, where fiction producers flourish.
Greetings, fans of the esoteric, and welcome to the trailer for Madame Magenta Sonus Mystica. Hang on, why am I doing my own trailer?
Where will the people want to see their star, my dear?
No one can see me, Bernard. This is a podcast.
Oh.
You know what? I should have that deep voice chap doing this. You know the one. What's his name?
Oh, the strange name.
Yes. Like a fruit.
Red pepper, that's yes. It. Yes.
In a world where something, something, something.
That's the one. Oh, it's quite sexy, Bernard. Ew. Save that for later.
No, I'm not sure I can keep it up.
You've never had a problem before.
That was a very clever joke.
Yes.
I am a very turgid man.
You are? I'm going to make a cup of tea. You do the trailer.
Oh, right you are.
In a world...
Earl Grey or normal?
Earl Grey, please.
In a world where ghosts and angels walk amongst us...
Float! They float!
Float amongst us stands one woman, Magenta.
Oh, God, my bloody spirit guide's frozen the milk again. It's going to have to be iced tea, I'm afraid.
Oh, all right, fair enough.
Psychic, medium...
My throat... Oh, Magenta? I can't do this anymore.
Bernard, you won't get nodules. You're not Adele.
Well, actually, interestingly enough, that wasn't nodules. That was an exploding polyp.
Oh, God.
Can you imagine that? Ew. Exploding polyp. Anyway, that's not why I can't do the trailer anymore.
Oh. Do you mean...
Yes, the angelic manifestation by the dog bed, yes.
Here we go again. What do you want?
From the makers of Mockery Manor comes Madame Magenta, Sonos Mystica. For all fans of the esoteric. Available now wherever you get podcasts.